Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week we began a series on baptism. We heard what baptism is. We learned that baptism is water and the Word. We heard that Jesus is the one who instituted baptism, and he also described who baptism is for, that baptism is for all nations. So now that we have come to that understanding, why is it so important then to baptize all nations? Why would we do it? Do we just do it because it's some sort of rule or command that God has given? Do we do it because we want to simply be obedient to God? Or do we have some better reasons for why we would be baptized? That is, what benefits do baptism give? There are some clear passages that teach what baptism does and what benefits baptism gives. And we heard two of those passages in our readings tonight. First, as St. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit, he writes very simply, "Baptism now saves you." And second, our Lord Jesus, after he had risen triumphantly from the grave, after he had appeared to the disciples, he declared for them to go out and preach this word, even though they were hiding, and Jesus rebuked them for their being afraid and for their hardness of heart. But then Jesus, after telling them to go out and preach this word, he tells them what happens. He said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." So through this preaching of the word and through the administration of baptism, people will be saved. And so that baptism saves is a clear teaching of Scripture, and it should be readily received by all Christians who hear these clear words of Scripture, and there should be no debate. But, of course, Satan wants to try to wreak havoc whenever and wherever he can. He loves it when he can give people into various temptations and try and begin to believe in other understandings of what baptism may be. Satan knows very well that if God saves through baptism, if God is at work in baptism, and if God is bringing people united into this Christian faith through baptism, if baptism is a means by which God is adopting people into his family, then Satan has to work hard to try to get people to not realize that these are the blessings of baptism. He wants to destroy the unity that God is establishing in baptism by trying to teach sweet little lies into people's ears so that there would be disunity concerning this most blessed sacrament. The devil is, frankly, horrified by the means of grace, and so he works tirelessly to confuse people concerning the ways in which God the Holy Spirit applies the gifts that Jesus earned for all nations on the cross, which includes trying to confuse people concerning baptism. Last week, we heard of one of those areas in which there is disagreement among Christendom. We heard that some people have falsely understood the Greek word baptizo for baptize to mean simply immersion. But as we heard from an example in Mark chapter 7, baptism, the word baptizo can be used for washing. So those dining couches that they used, those were washed, those were baptized according to that Greek word. Not the sacrament of baptism, they were just simply washed. Now, if that could only be the point of disagreement, that some say that baptism means immersion and that everyone must be immersed to be baptized, that would be really nice. That would be great that would be the only disagreement. But sadly, that is not the case. Satan has tried more ways to cause division within the church over the sacrament of baptism. At the time of the Reformation, Martin Luther recovered the wonderful teaching that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. He saw this as it was taught in the Scriptures. It took him some time to undo all of the years of thought that had been ingrained into his head, in which it in which these clear teachings of Scripture were contradicted by the traditions of man. And because we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus alone, this means that good works do not contribute to our salvation. And that is true. Good works do not contribute to the salvation of the sinner. God does not look down to see how good you've been in order to save you. Now, some churches took this true teaching to the extreme by saying that baptism does not save because we are saved by Jesus alone, or we are saved by faith in Jesus alone. So they'll say, which is it? Are you saved by faith in Christ, or are you saved by baptism? They'll try to turn baptism into a little bit of a good work, and then they'll say, see, your work does not save you, only faith in Jesus saves. So their intention was to keep the statement true that we are not saved by our works, but where they fell into error is when they began to teach that baptism must be pitted against faith in Jesus Christ. And we must be on guard that we do not fall into the snare of Satan. We must be on guard that we keep the distinctions clear without voiding other words of Scripture. It is sad that when we say baptism saves, because that is the teaching of both Peter and Jesus, then others will say, no, baptism does not save, but faith in Jesus alone saves. How do they pit, though, baptism against salvation by faith in Jesus? Well, they consider baptism not to be a work of God, but instead they consider it to be a work of man. And they rightly testify that works do not save, therefore they reason baptism cannot save. But we believe, teach, and confess that baptism is not our work. Baptism is instead the work of God. God is the one who does the saving through baptism. God is the one applying to us what Jesus earned for us on the cross through baptism. God is the one who saw us dead in our sins and trespasses and raised us up through baptism. God is the one who joined us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in our baptism. This means that God is the one who is doing all of the action. God is driving the verbs. If baptism were simply the work of the one being baptized, John the Baptist would not have objected to Jesus when Jesus went to John to be baptized. John would have been delighted in seeing Jesus do the work himself as John just simply put some water on his head. But John instead knew that he needed to be baptized by Jesus because John knew that he needed something from Jesus, the one who is doing the action. And so John said to Jesus, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? For Jesus, of course, is the one whom John knew to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who is bestowing the forgiveness of sins on those who are baptized. Yet despite this clear example, some churches still deny that God does the work in baptism. Now, if God is not the one doing the work, what will they say that baptism does? Or why even do it? Well, as I pointed out at the beginning of my sermon, some people figure that this is just simply done in obedience to God. Others will say that baptism actually doesn't do anything. Or some say that baptism is an outward testimony of an inward faith. Have you ever heard that phrase? Because it is commonly held by those who insist that the only true baptism is immersion, and those who assert that baptism does not save, and by those who do not believe that infants and small children should be baptized. So because they take away what baptism really is, they have to put something in there, and so they say baptism is an outward testimony of an inward faith. It's basically saying, I'm showing the world that I'm a Christian. I gave myself to Jesus, and therefore my baptism is demonstrating what I have done. But this type of thinking is often so foreign to us Lutherans that we have a hard time believing that people would actually strip baptism down to that, to say that it doesn't save, or to say that it's some sort of outward testimony of an inward faith. But many who hold to this were raised thinking that this is what baptism is. It's an outward testimony of an inward faith. And they even think that's what the Bible would teach, because in their churches, they usually teach that the only source for any Christian teaching comes from the Bible. But yet that phrase, that baptism is an outward testimony of an inward faith, is not found in the Bible. So if anyone tries to tell you that this is what baptism is, politely ask them, as Peter teaches you to do in today's first reading, ask them, where is it recorded in Scripture? Let them have the opportunity to give a defense of the hope that is in them. But then they won't be able to show you. And Peter does tell us to be gentle with other people, to confess the word rightly as we give a defense of the hope that is in us. And so when they aren't able to show us anything in Scripture that identifies baptism as an outward testimony of an inward faith, what we ought to then do is show them what baptism is. Take them to these passages from Mark and 1 Peter to show that baptism certainly does save. You know, they usually rightly want to give the credit of their salvation to Jesus because they know that Jesus alone died on the cross for their sin. But in doing so, they mistakenly set baptism against faith alone. You see, God works faith, and He is the one at work in baptism. He saves by grace through faith. He saves in baptism. The one God has established multiple ways to be confident of our salvation. And this confidence comes by grace through faith, through baptism, through the Lord's Supper, and through the Word of God. You see, baptism does not clean a dirty body of dirt. It's not just meant to get some surface grime off of the skin of an individual. Instead, what baptism does is it cleanses a sinner of his sin. God washes our sins away in baptism as a washing of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit. And this cleansing that God grants to us also gives us a comforted conscience. Our sins alarm us. They ought to terrify us and make us feel repulsed. But then what God does in baptism is He says, your sins are taken away. They're all washed. They're gone. And so your conscience can be clear. You stand before God faultless and forgiven. And this forgiveness is yours because Jesus paid for all of your sin on the cross. Had He not fulfilled His passion, there would be no forgiveness. And without forgiveness, there would be no eternal life or salvation. But Jesus did what he was sent out to do. He went to the cross. He paid for the sins of the entire world. He was held guilty for all of our sin. For the Lord had laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And so Jesus, who went to the cross as a guilty one, shed His blood on our behalf, His innocent blood, and He suffered the wrath of God, and through this earned our salvation. But this salvation, which Jesus earned for us some 2,000 years ago, needs to be appropriated to us, needs to be given to us, needs to be applied to us. And the way that God has chosen to do it is by grace through faith, using baptism, using the Lord's Supper, using the Word of God to instill and to strengthen, to build faith in you, to receive this forgiveness. And so by faith, sinners are baptized, they're received into God's family, and this forgiveness that Jesus has earned for all is applied today, to this day. Baptism is a means by which God delivers this forgiveness. And where there is forgiveness, there is life and salvation. The work of God in baptism, must not be considered some sort of simply a past event. Instead, God continues to be at work in our baptism even to this day. For he has joined us to himself and has received us into his family. We are adopted by virtue of our baptism into God's family. Now think about an adopted child. An adopted child does not talk about his baptism as or his adoption as if it were something that had happened in the past and has no bearing on the present. You know, the adoption date happened in the past, but his adoption is something that is ongoing. He remains a member of that family to which he is adopted. He grows into the customs of that family. He continues to learn, and he is a member of that family. In the same way, our baptisms were not simply a past event. Instead, when we describe who we are, we don't say that we were baptized, but we joyfully confess that we are baptized. For God has received us into his family. We belong to his kingdom even now. And our sins, which had been drowned in baptism, continue to be forgiven. Our sins continue to be drowned, and we continue to rise in newness of life, all by the work of God through our baptism. So what benefits does baptism give? It works the forgiveness of sins, it rescues from death and the devil, and it gives eternal salvation to all who believe this as the words and promises of God declare. You are baptized into Christ. Salvation is yours. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the prayers.